For our scripture reading in this morning, let us turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13. And we will read the whole chapter. Let us hear the word of God, Hebrews, chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Dear congregation, we join together on this first Lord's Day of a new year, a time when especially we look towards the future, towards the what we call the unknown future, a future where there may be so many questions, so many uncertainties, because we've also learned in this past year such unexpected things may happen, which we never predict ahead of time. It reminds us that everything here below is unstable and is changing and uncertain. How will it go in our nation? How will it be in our church? How will it be in our families, in our own personal life? So many questions about this year. What can we know about this year? This year is the year A.D. 2021. A.D. Maybe children once still wonder, what does A.D. mean? It's Anno Domini. You say, that still doesn't help me. That's right, because you may not know Latin, but that's a Latin expression for the year of our Lord. What will 2021 be? The year of our Lord, Anno Domini. Who is that Lord? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is where our text, Hebrews 13, verse 8, points us in this morning. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Let us listen prayerfully to this theme. Jesus Christ never changes. First, amid changing churches. Second, as the full Savior. And third, throughout time. Jesus Christ never changes. First, amid changing churches. Second, as the full Savior. And third, throughout time. I just said that everything changes, and so it's no surprise that also churches change. Generations come and go. And also there is change in churches. One generation does not automatically inherit the grace of a previous generation. And there's always influences that influence a church at one time and different influences at another time. There's always changes. But maybe you wonder, where is that in our text? Why do we have a whole point about changing churches when this is our text? Well, the text is set within a context. It's connected especially to the previous verse. And in that previous verse, there is that call, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ. Verse 7 then exhorts to remember those who spoke to them, to remember the word that they spoke, and the goal, the end of their conversation, of their life, Jesus Christ. These were ones who taught them in the past. And they were not to forget what they had taught, but to follow it. And that exhortation was needed because they were in danger of forgetting what they had been taught, of becoming discouraged and going different directions. When that gospel had first come among them, it had come with power, and it had brought sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ to know him. But as the years passed, spiritual life began to decline, and discouragement set in as persecution and other pressures increased. Hebrews 12, verse 12, speaks of the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And those who were in danger of failing of the grace of God. And under those pressures of persecution, under also those pressures of the attraction of that Jewish religion with the ceremonies and everything else, there was the temptation to forget what they had been taught and to go back to their old way of life. And that is why there are these warnings: see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, or take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief to depart from the living God. Some were in danger of following others who were speaking different things than what they had been taught of the Word of God. And so there was this danger of now being different than the past. It's always a question, isn't there? Isn't it? When there is a difference between now and the past, is it because Christ has changed? Is it because His Word has changed? Is it that in the past they experienced the powerful work of the Spirit of Christ, and now they also experience that same powerful work, and yet there's such a difference? In this context, the apostle stresses, you are changing, and you're in danger of looking elsewhere for instruction than those who've taught you, but remember the Christ they preached to you is the same still. You have no reason to turn, to go aside. Follow their faith, because their faith was in the unchangeable Christ. Notice it doesn't say, follow everything they said and did. They also had their faults and their wrongs. We need not follow, we ought not, we may not follow the wrongs of past leaders or ministers or present ones. We are not to do things simply because a past generation before us did it. It says follow the faith of those in the past and those in the present who show that Christ is their life. Notice that he doesn't idolize the past and keep talking about the past as if everything was well then. We can sometimes have that danger, at least some of us, that we look back about the good days when everything was well in the church, and then we can be pessimistic about the present and all that is wrong. But then we're forgetting it's about that faith and that life that has Christ as its goal. The Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what it's about. Those who instruct us, and believers in the past, are to point us to Christ who is the same. He doesn't change. And if it's about following Him, then we need not be ashamed to seek that grace, to follow Him like others have taught us in the past. We needn't be ashamed. Even if the world thinks us so strange, because we still hold on to what the Word of God says, that Word which they have identified as being outdated and out of style, and not fitting with our modern contemporary view of life. What does it matter if it's a following of the unchanging Christ? What does it matter if broader Christianity thinks us strange for that we still hold on to those doctrines of grace? Are they not rather old-fashioned? Or is it not better to have something much, much more attractive and something much more suitable to us and something which is more engaging and everything else? What does it matter if that's what they think? If it's about following Christ as he has been taught and made himself known through the ages. And by the way, if we are to also follow the faith of those who have gone before us, it's also valuable to learn from them, isn't it? It's also why we can be so thankful that we have so many books that we can read. And in this new year, shall we not also make sure that we not only resolve at the beginning of this year, but also carry through, that we are busy reading also, and so that we may learn from what God has taught past generations, whether it be Luther or Calvin, or whether it be the Puritans, or whether it be Ryle or Spurgeon or McChain or Boston or whoever it may be, but that we may learn and so have this desire to follow their faith. He says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, the goal of their lives was Jesus Christ. And then you notice the verse after, there is something similar. In verse 9 it says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. How applicable that also is to us. There are so many ideas. There's so many opinions. And you can talk to so many different people with all their different ideas. And you can go on the internet and you can listen to a whole host of different people. And you can read a whole host of different articles and blogs and everything else. And they all have their opinions about what is true and what is not and what we are to do and what we're not and how we're to think and how we're not to think. There can be such a confusion. And here it says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. They abound. It's not surprising, because 2 Timothy 4 warns, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. What a frightful thing. To be turned from the truth unto fables. It often begins subtly. You hardly notice the difference, because there's still true things that they say. It's just there's other true things they don't say. And those other true things they don't say, you begin to forget. And they fade away. And eventually, when we hear those true things again, then they become opposed, and people are carried away from the truth to fables. Can happen slowly, can happen quickly. Paul wrote to the Galatians, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But whether slowly or quickly, these changes happen. And the result is a different view of Christ than what the Bible tells us about him. All these other doctrines, they lead us away from the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And then we're left with a Christ of our own making, which is not the Christ the same today and yesterday and forever. Which is a frightful condition to be in. How shall we not be turned aside and carried about with strange doctrines? How shall we follow in the faith of those who have gone before us, whose end and goal was Christ? It's only this way, by knowing Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, knowing who he truly is. Do you know who he is? He is the full Savior. It's our second point. Jesus Christ is unchangeable as the full Savior. Notice that the text does not say the Son of God is the same. That is a reality which is very true. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God the Son. And as God the Son, He is the same. Always. Because God, triune, is the same. He is unchangeable. It's what we use that big word, immutable. He doesn't change. He's eternal. The great I am, that I am. We say, I was, and I am, and I will be. And we're always changing, but God is the great I am. He, as it were, is in that eternal present, because He's never changing. And so also the Son of God is the same. Hebrews 1, quote Psalm 102, Thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. And it applies it to the Son of God. And yet, as I said, the text here does not say the Son of God is the same, but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, come in the flesh to be the Savior. He does not change. And maybe if someone thinks back on the Lord Jesus Christ and how we read of Him in the Gospels, and you say, didn't he change? Some weeks ago, or was it last week, we remembered how the Lord Jesus was born as a little baby, so small. He didn't stay the same. He grew. He became bigger. He began to speak. He learned to read, just like the children learned to read. He grew. And He went from place to place. Then He was speaking. Then He was sleeping. Then He was performing a miracle. Then He was teaching. You could say He was always changing, just like you and me, because He was a real human being. Yes, in a sense, He was changing. And He changes, He does many different things. And yet, in another sense, Jesus Christ did not change at all in His character, in who He was, in what was in His heart, in His purposes, in those ways. He does not change at all. He did not change in those ways while He was on earth, and He certainly does not change in any way while He is in heaven at the throne of His Father. He is the unchanging Christ. Who He is who He is, and what is in His heart is in His heart always as the unchanging One. And what a great reality that is. And when we think just of those two names that are given to us in this text, Jesus Christ, the same. He is Jesus. And children, you've memorized that text, I'm sure. Those words that Gabriel spoke when he had to come to Joseph while Mary was with child. And he said, fear not, Joseph, to take Mary to your wife. And then he says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. Jesus means Savior. It literally means Jehovah salvation. Jehovah saves. The I am that I am saves. He's the Savior. That is the glorious reality. Amid all the changes and all the uncertainties and all the questions that we may have at the beginning of a year, all the things we do not know, this we may know. His name is Jesus, and in this year He will be what He's always been, the Savior. He shall save His people from their sin. He shall save His people from their sin this year. Those whom He has saved, He will continue to save, and He will not let one of them perish. No matter what you go through, no matter what assaults there may be, no matter how weak you may be, no matter how you may feel that you don't change, you continue to be a sinner. He will not change and continue to be the Savior. He shall save. It's sure, because He is the same. And He shall continue to save lost sinners as well and bring them to Himself to belong to Him as the Savior. He will do all the work of saving. He will not just give some advice. He will not just do 99% of the work and leave it up to for 1% up to our willingness to go along with it. No, He shall save. From sin in all its aspects, save from its guilt and save from its power, save from its pollution and save from its curse, save from its penalty and save from its presence. He shall save from sin. Remember what He said in Luke 19. The Son of Man is come to save, to seek and to save that which is lost. What a dreadful condition that is to be lost. Is that how you've begun this year? Lost. Without a Savior. As a sinner. He is the same. This year is a year of the Savior. A year in which He will be the Savior. Is that not reason already at the beginning of this year to call out unto this Savior who is the same and who has no less power today to save than He ever did? His name is Jesus. And that's why there's hope for every one of us. And if that is not rich enough, the apostle is inspired to add another name, Christ. And the young people have learned in catechism, or even the children perhaps, that Christ is that Greek name for the Hebrew name Messiah. And the Hebrew and the Greek together in English mean anointed one. He is the Christ. He is anointed. He is the one who is ordained by God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit to be, remember, three things? A prophet and a priest and a king. That's right. And in this way, to be that great mediator between God and sinners. He is that chief prophet. Hebrews 1 tells us about Him as that prophet, when it says, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Christ is this prophet through whom God speaks to us. He is the mouth of God who speaks to us everything we need to know. We have so many questions, so many things we want to know. Also about a new year. We don't have the answers to all the questions that we have about this year. But we are told that there is a prophet, Jesus Christ, who speaks all that we need to know. Speaks what we need to know about ourselves and about our sin and about our misery. Speaks what we need to know about Himself and that salvation that is in Him. Speaks what we need to know about the way in which we are to go through this year, the way in which we are to live. He is the prophet to teach, and he gives us his own word. His word, which is that revelation of all that we need to know. And he also is the one who lives today as that prophet to bless that word to hearts of people who are foolish and are ignorant and don't understand even after they've read the word. He is the prophet to give his Holy Spirit to lead into all the truth and to direct to him who is the truth and to also guide in the path of truth and right. He is a prophet. Is that the one you need this year? Because you find yourself so ignorant and blind and foolish, this teacher, oh, will he not speak in this year as he has spoken throughout the ages? Shall we not in this year listen to his voice? For God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. O congregation, let us not waste our time this year becoming all caught up in all the opinions and all the speculations, and we can talk so long about all the theories that are out there. God the Father has given his Christ as the prophet to teach. Hear him. As a Christ, he also remains the priest. Hebrews is filled with his priestly work. How Christ is the one so much greater than all the Old Testament priests who offered up those lambs and goats and rams and bullocks. He is that great priest who came in the fullness of time to sacrifice himself as that offering. That offering which he offered up once for all, pleasing to God. He is the one, Hebrews 1 says, who when he purged our sins sat down at the right hand of the Father. He sits there as a priest, presenting before his Father that perfect sacrifice that he has offered up, so that God, for the sake of that sacrifice, would pour out his blessing also in this year. There, as the priest, he pours out his blessing in pouring out his Holy Spirit to apply that priestly blood to accusing consciences, to troubled hearts, so that through the blood we may experience that peace with God through Jesus Christ. It is there he sits as that great priest who is the intercessor, who when burdened ones here below pour out their heart before God, he takes those prayers and he cleanses them and he presents them to the Father as ones to be heard for the sake of his sacrifice. Hebrews 10 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Jesus Christ is that gracious priest who is the same. Is this the one that you so need in this year? In the midst of your guilt, in the midst of your unworthiness, you've brought your sinful self into this year, and you will go through this year with your sinful being. And therefore you can't do without a priest to wash and to cleanse you and to make you acceptable in the sight of God and to secure that blessing for you that you cannot do without. Oh, if he is a priest, is that not a call to his throne of grace in this year? He's there as prophet. He's there as priest. He's also there as king. It's also the theme of Hebrews. It often quotes Psalm 110, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." He's seated right now on the throne of his Father as king. Hebrews 2 says, when we look around, we see so much turmoil and confusion, so much rebellion and upheaval. But then Hebrews 2 says, but we see Jesus, crowned with glory and honor. He's there as king, with all power given unto him in heaven and upon earth. He is there as king, who issues his royal law, which can never change. No matter how much we try to redefine laws, he's there, unchanging, the same in his royal will, in his royal glory, which cannot endure rebellion and resistance to it. His royal, holy glory. He's also there in all his royal power as king to subdue and to conquer the greatest of rebels and to cause them to kiss his feet and surrender to him and have him as Lord over them. He is there as that glorious king who has received a people from his Father, which he shall bring in and make subjects of him, no matter how much they may by nature resist him. His power is irresistible as king. He makes hardened hearts fall before him. He makes enemies friends and rebels subjects of him because he is king. And as king, he is there to defend and preserve his church, come what may, so that not even the gates of hell shall prevail against his church, because he's king of his church. As king, he is then extending his kingdom and causing it to spread. And he is preserving and defending and strengthening all his subjects, giving that whole armor of God to be able to stand in an evil day, whatever that evil looks like. This Jesus Christ is the king. And again I ask, is this the king that you so need in this year when you find yourself so weak and so helpless, this mighty king to be your king, to deliver you, preserve you, defend you, that you may serve him? This Jesus Christ is the center of our text. He's the center of the gospel. He's the center of all of scripture. And that center is immovable and it's unchangeable because Jesus Christ is the same. This is who he is. Whatever we may think, whatever we may feel, whatever we may see around us, whatever we may see within us, this is reality. He is the full Savior. And he is so. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's why our final point is, Jesus Christ is unchangeable throughout time. In one sense, those words, Jesus Christ the same, contain everything. You can say, what is added by saying the same yesterday and today and forever? If he's the same, then he's the same always throughout time. And yet, the Holy Spirit inspired these words to be added. Yesterday, today, and forever. And they are so beautiful, aren't they? They call us to reflect back, first of all, on that yesterday. What Jesus was yesterday, meaning in the past. And you think, and why don't we just go to what he was while he was on earth? What was he like while on earth? He was called, wasn't he, the friend of publicans and sinners? No, he didn't like their sin. He had a holy hatred for sin. And he also warned about the sinfulness of sin. And yet, there was no one who was too sinful for him. There was no harlot or adulterer that came to him for mercy in vain. There was no publican and greedy person too unworthy to receive mercy. He was the one who welcomed all to him. The lame, the blind, the wretched, the leprous, those filled with devils. They were all welcome. The little children said, "Let them come to me." He didn't turn away any who sought him. And we read he healed them all. However unique and however dreadful their diseases may be, there was no case too difficult for him. When that leper came and said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean," he touched him and he said, "I will, be thou clean." He saved. When there was a Zacchaeus, in his curiosity, up there in the tree, the Lord Jesus stopped and he looked up. And he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide in your house." And he later said, "This day is salvation come to thy house." And it showed in the life of Zacchaeus what a power he had to save. And when there was a Nicodemus who had his questions, and he came by night to the Lord Jesus welcomed also a Nicodemus with all his questions. And he taught him those words of life, and he showed him he must be born again. And the Lord blessed, and he also saved a Nicodemus. And when there was a tax collector, Levi, by the side of the road, then he said, "Follow me." And he did. There was such a power in the Savior while he was on earth yesterday. Maybe when we reflect on what he was yesterday, while he was on earth, the thought can rise, if only I lived then. And as a child or as a young person, I could just go to him and he would speak and he would work and it would be so clear. And as an elderly one, and as an adult, I could go to him, and... But now what? Jesus Christ is the same. Just the same as he was then. You don't need to wish that you lived back yesterday. If he is the same today, and hasn't changed. He still stretches out his hands today to receive sinners of all sorts and sizes. He still calls to come to him today. And you may still go to him today in prayer. As you bow before him and call out unto him, it's not just words to a person who lived long ago, but it's a calling out to the one who is the same today, that you may say, "O blessed Savior, I read in the Gospels, thou didst receive sinners and save and give grace and give deliverance and blessing. And I hear thou art the same. Give that same grace today." He will. Because he's the same. As he was while he was on earth. He's the same as he was yesterday. There's a sense in which that yesterday that we have today is even richer than the yesterday when this text was written. Because our yesterday is longer. And we may look back and see also what Christ has done and been in the past since he ascended and since he poured out his Spirit. We may look back in church history and also see what he has been yesterday. In the past, we may read of times like the Reformation when many came to abhor themselves and to glory in nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, and so glory in him that they were willing to have their bodies burned rather than to deny him. We may read of time books from the Puritans which breathe of a tender and humble devotion to the Lord and a knowledge of Christ and of his work. We may read biographies of missionaries and learn of how Christ filled them with such a zeal. And again, at times when we read them, we can almost wish, if only I was there, and I was then, and I was that person. But my friend, all the theirs, and the thens, and the that persons that were good was by the grace of this Christ alone, this Christ who is the same today, to give that same grace, to glory in Christ crucified alone, to have a zeal and to have a love and to have a tender walk with God. That was the grace of Christ who is the same today, to give that grace today. And he does. Don't let people convince you he doesn't. Don't let your own unbelieving heart convince you that he doesn't. He does. He still breaks hearts. He still fills with his love. He still leads in that tender walk with him. He's the same. This truth also applies in a special way to you who can look back and see his dealings in the past. And maybe you reflect back on those special moments when the Lord came to you and the Lord humbled you and the Lord drew you to himself and he showed you his grace, his love, his beauty, that there's none like him. The best moments of your life, you look back at those times, and maybe they're only a memory compared to how it is in the present. It's become cold. It's become dull. You've become so filled with other things than Jesus Christ. Sin has set in. You're so different from then. He hasn't changed. But you've changed. You've gone astray. You've sunk down. You've been blinded by unbelief. You haven't changed. You've changed. Maybe you wish again you could turn the clock back to those moments in the past, but you can't. Child of God, you need not. Because all that you saw in Christ in the past is in him in the present and so much more. And he is the same still to come again, to have dealings again, to show his grace again, to draw you back again, to glorify himself again. He is the same still today. Is that not reason to turn to him again today? To again, or should I say, to an even greater way, see who he is and be drawn close to him, that in this year you would see more of him than you had even seen in the past, and you would know more of his grace than you had known in the past, and that it would lead to a more careful walk than it had been in the past, because he is the same. Jesus Christ is the same as that faithful Savior yesterday and today and forever. That means he will be the same this year. He will be exactly what he says he is in his own inspired words. Amid all the questions we may have about this year, we may know Jesus Christ will be what he has said that he is in this year. And is that not the most important thing to know? Or better said, is he not the most important one to know? He will be the same forever. And soon, congregation, everyone will see who he is. Soon the day is coming when every eye will see Jesus Christ is indeed the same forever. When he comes with all the clouds, every eye will see him. We can think we can change him. Our views of him may change, but on that day we will see who he truly is. What a day that will be for each one of us. My friend, will you see him as the one that you've already come to know in this life as the unchanging, faithful Christ? Or will you see him as a stranger, as one you heard of so often, but didn't think really was what he says he is? What a frightful thought to meet him then and see who he truly is too late. And then he will not change. In all his holy glory and all his holy hatred of sin, then you will meet the wrath of the Lamb. And it will be a wrath that does not change forever. For Jesus Christ is the same forever, and therefore his wrath is forever and ever and ever, without a softening, without a relenting. It will be pure wrath because of you've despised and rejected this Lamb of God. My friend, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you to meet the wrath of the Lamb. But you are not yet there. You are here and you are listening, and it's a Lord's Day, and he's coming as the same in his holy wrath, but also in his holy love and grace. And you may hear of this Christ whose blood has lost none of its power to cleanse. Also today, he is the one who bore that wrath of God against sin to deliver from it, so that you, in this beginning of this new year, would flee to that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His blood is enough to break your heart. His blood is enough to cleanse you. His blood is enough to make all things new. He is the same. You'd flee to him with all your sin. And if you know this blessed Jesus Christ by faith, you may know that He will be the same in this year. And soon you will see Him in His glory. You will see Him, and it will not be another. It will not be a stranger. It will be the very same Jesus Christ who redeemed you with His blood. But then you will say, the half was not told me. I didn't see the smallest part compared to who He truly is. And then He will be the same forever in His glory, in His beauty, in His love, to satisfy your heart to all eternity. And you will never, ever be done. Jesus Christ, the same. And if this year will only bring you closer to that time when you will see the Savior face to face, and if in this year He will be that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, prophet, priest, and king, then what does it matter that there's many things you don't know, as long as you know Him? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, Thou who art the same, and whose years have no end, we pray to Thee once again, and we give Thee thanks, Lord, that Thou dost give us Thy everlasting word, which reveals Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. O Lord, if we see ourselves and who we are, then we would surely think that Thou would have to change and no longer show mercy to sinners like us, but Thou art that God of unchanging mercy. And so, Lord, we pray, bless each of us with Thy grace. And we pray to be that faithful Savior of each one of us, and to, in that way, be our prophet, priest, and king, so that whatever changes in this year, we may be bound to this Savior, receive of Him, and so even look forward to that better day when we shall see Him as He is. O Lord God, bless then Thy word to each of us, young and old, to Thy glory. Keep us further in this day. Gather the congregation again in this afternoon, and bless Thy word also then. We ask it and give Thee thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing together Psalter number 60, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Psalter number 60, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. And I was to announce that there is a consistory meeting scheduled for tomorrow evening at 7:30. 7:30.